The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "You, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's sermon comes from Isaiah chapter 64. "I wish you would rend the heavens apart and come down. Your presence would shake the mountains, as when fire burns up dry twigs and makes water boil. We want your enemies to know your name. Your presence makes the nations tremble. When you do fearful things we don't expect. Yes, if you would come down, your presence would shake mountains. No one has ever heard with his ears or seen with his eyes any God except you who does things for those who look to him with confidence. You encourage those who delight in doing right and remember you in your ways. Though you were angry, we still sinned. We've continued long in sins, and can we be saved? We've all become like unclean person, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. All of us fade like a leaf, and all of our wrongs carry us away like the wind. There's no one calling on your name or rousing himself to take hold of you, since you have hidden your face from us. You have handed us over to the tyranny of our wrongdoing. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hands." We've all driven Indianapolis highways, so we've all seen the carload full of people going about 90 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic. And we're sure that they're being completely reckless, but we ask the question of ourselves, where are the cops? we've all said that one as well. But just imagine if all the reckless drivers were always caught by the police. Then we would scream, that's justice. But justice for what? Except for speeding, they haven't hurt anybody yet. But what could have happened is an accident. And if the police were around, they could have stopped them. Could have talking vents our feelings. So if you ever see me driving down the road with a scowl on my face, it's probably because I'm having one of those could have moments that somebody deserves the police. But Isaiah himself cries out for justice. Instead of the cops showing up, Isaiah wants the Lord to show up. He says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. He knows what would happen if the people saw God. They're apt not to turn against God or remain unaffected by his presence for long. There's an Allstate commercial a while back that when you see a police car, you become a more careful driver. Take the police away and you have drivers, like I said, that drive 90 miles an hour in Indy. But what effect would it be on people if God came in a physical way? Imagine if people saw God in a pillar of fire like he did in the Old Testament. I bet many would repent. Or a room full of atheists and you're standing there trying to convince them that Jesus is real and Jesus actually appeared and gave physical proof of his existence. I bet many of them, not all, because atheists can be really hard-headed, but many of them would convert on the spot. Isaiah is surrounded by people who no longer believe in God. And Isaiah actually asks the question in verse 5, shall we be saved? Wouldn't you, like Isaiah, pray for Jesus' appearing? Isaiah said, as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, he was conveying a truth. That when you light a fire, you can boil water. So too it is with the presence of God. It causes an instantaneous effect. Have you ever prayed that God would show his hand now and that we would see God's instantaneous power? There's nothing wrong with wanting God to wake up people. There's nothing wrong in wanting a miracle like those in the Bible. Desiring God's divine intervention just shows that you care about other people and you want other people to know God is real. Isaiah knew that if God appeared in physical form, the nations would tremble. Isaiah wanted the people to see God and to know God is with them. Worldly living was destroying the people in Isaiah's day, much like it is to us today. Isaiah writes of the people, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. Without God's presence, people backslide back into unrighteous living the way they had been. Now, there is no one who calls on your name, O Lord, is what Isaiah says. There is no one who arouses himself to take hold of God. In other words, Isaiah was bemoaning the fact that his people were lost. He wanted to know why God wouldn't do something. Why doesn't God today come down and part some ocean? Prove in a physical way he's here. Prove that Jesus is real and that sin kills eternally. He's done it before. Why can't he do it again? But the very fact that he's done it before is why he won't do it again. If God came down again, it would be a redundant event. He's already come. He's already come down in human form and lived among us. He took the sin of the world to the cross. Even if Christ did appear again, or like when he first appeared, many people followed him, but then slid away and backslided once again like they did in Isaiah's day. Today, if people can't believe the Bible, they'll never come around. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. But if God felt the only way to save people was appearing every day, he would do it. Instead, he chose the perfect resource. He gave us the Bible. He gave us men who were inspired by him to write the books of the Bible. In God's word, Isaiah reminds us that God is the potter and we are the clay. Every day we feel the presence of God in the air, the land we walk on, and everything that we live with, because nothing exists without God. God proved his existence by sending Jesus into the world. Great miracles are recorded in the Bible. It's our calling to trust in what God has already done rather than in what God might do. His word is living and it's active. It's enough to lift us out of any doldrums that we find ourselves in. We've fallen into the same trap as Isaiah. We want God to perform some great miracle to prove he's real. But are we waiting for some great miracle to right in the world today? I listen to the news and I'm disgusted with what I hear. And sometimes I just wish God would come down and finally say, enough is enough. I'm being like Isaiah. We already have the security that the big and mighty event is available through his word. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. His word is so powerful that if people forget the pillar of fire from the Old Testament, they forget Sodom and Gomorrah, they forget the many miracles of Jesus. God's holy word endures throughout the years. It's the sole source of faith. God enriches us daily through his word. And that word continues to confirm our faith day in and day out. We know what can happen when people hear the word of God. For example, we've all seen the movie Ben-Hur. You know the story of the author of Ben-Hur? He was a Union general during the Civil War, an atheist. He gets all the way through the Civil War. He's a Civil War hero. He decided to write a book to prove that Jesus was a farce. So he started to read the Bible to get enough evidence to prove Jesus was a farce. Instead, he came to faith. That's the power of God's word. He wrote Ben-Hur, and it's felt that Ben-Hur is his story set in Roman times. God has made his presence known in our world. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.